The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Good morning, San Diego. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I am Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. We're going to be here for the next hour talking to you about all kinds of stuff going on in your yard and garden. Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice and cold out at your house today?
Chilly.
Yes, it was
frosty.
Chilly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had 37 at the bottom of the hill as I came down.
It was 39 at the bottom of my hill. The only reason why I know that is because the ice warning went off in the car, so I had to watch out that I didn't slide on black ice somewhere. So.
and it was chilly. Safely?
And it was crystal clear at our house too. I mean, there was not a cloud in the sky.
The stars are beautiful.
Would have been a nice night to get up to watch the rocket launch.
I did wake up for said rocket launch, but I did look at my phone and see that it had been postponed before I went out to do it. So.
Well, that was lucky.
So now I get to get up at 12:57 tonight.
Tonight, and do it again.
So it'll be tomorrow morning, yes, and try it again.
Yeah, on the 14th.
Although they're expecting a storm to blow through Sunday, and I hope the cloud cover isn't too far in advance of it, because it'll mess up our viewing.
Well, if it comes in, is it coming in from the west?
Yes.
Oh, they may scrub it for weather up there too, because they're farther west than we are.
And they said that it was scrubbed last night because of upper level winds were too high.
Oh, interesting.
So interesting. We're expecting 1/100 of an inch of rain tomorrow, middle of the day. So everybody, prepare, be careful.
You know, I can't remember the last time I had my sprinklers on. My sprinklers have been off for a long time.
Which is good. Now they're going to have to raise the rates because there's not enough.
Not enough usage.
Yeah,
not enough. Well, they are already raising the rates.
You know, we haven't had any real good rains for quite a while, though. But the cooler temperatures, the overcast, and the
dampness.
Spritzes, yeah.
Did you get a good rain where you live on Thursday morning? Because we had a 3 or 4 minute torrential downpour and then just stopped.
Yes.
Yeah.
On
I had
Thursday?
About the same.
Thursday morning. Yeah.
Same.
Maybe about
same
7.
Thing.
7:15-ish.
I think it was about 1/10 of an inch of rain. Again, not enough to
soak
anything, but
keeps it cool.
Keeps
it damp.
It cool and keeps
lessens evaporation.
Warm. Yes.
Well, see, according to my phone, neither Poway nor San Diego is expecting any rain in the next 10 days.
Well, I would consider 1/100 of an inch of rain not
getting any rain.
Yes. So I'm okay with that.
You're okay with that?
Okay. Yes. It'll probably be a heavy drizzle at some point during the day tomorrow. But then it's supposed to warm up during the week after this breezy, windy, westerly storm comes through.
Yeah, I was looking at the weather last evening, and I think last night was our last really cold night for a little while.
Well, we had that discussion before the last two frosty nights. It was done for the week. And then
I wasn't part of that discussion. I think it was you and Brian, maybe.
Maybe. But late in the day, all of a sudden, a frost advisory popped up. And it was cold, so I went out at 8:30 on Wednesday night?
Thursday night.
Thursday night. And sprayed some copper spray to see if it inhibited frost formation. I don't know. What's the phrase?
What led you to do that, since you're bringing it up?
Reading the label.
And what did the label say?
The label said spraying copper may inhibit ice nucleating bacteria. And if you don't, if frost doesn't have ice nucleating bacteria, it can't form. So I thought I'd try it. And it may have been slightly less in that one area. Maybe it needs to dry or spend
first,
a little more
right.
time on the ice nucleating bacteria to inhibit them.
You have to spray in advance of the weather and not as it's happening?
Well, I don't know.
Did you just use regular copper, like the organic copper? Or
I use the ready-to-spray copper spray that I bought last January.
That's the liquid cop.
Liquid cop okay. to take care of. Remember, I promised you guys on the air that I would go home and spray one day, and I did. And I, while I was down there at 8:30, I sprayed my fruit trees. I figured, you know.
What the heck?
I have it. Mine as
yeah.
well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So I did. I
accomplished a couple things.
Yes. I would say killed two birds with one stone, but the ice nucleating bacteria didn't seem to work, and I shouldn't say that anyway, right?
Right.
I just completely lost.
So the copper spray says it will inhibit frost production.
Yeah, we talked about that yesterday, I think it was.
Yeah. But I like my new phrase now, instead of being translaminar, is going to be ice nucleating bacteria.
Well, there you go.
Don't I sound smart?
That'll come up in conversation a lot.
Exactly. He'll bring it up in conversation a lot.
Yeah. Anytime we talk about copper spray,
exactly.
it's going to come up.
Did you know?
Let's see. We do have classes today in San Diego. It's going to be year-round color for San Diego Gardens with Chuck McClung. Always a good class when Chuck is teaching, so I would get there. Class starts at 9 o'clock. Get there early so you can get a good parking space and get a good seat. Should be a good class. In Poway, it's going to be bare root fruit tree planting and pruning. And Adams, our own Adams from our staff, is going to be teaching that. And he's a wealth of knowledge as far as fruit trees is concerned. So that should be a good class, too. That starts at 9:30 in Poway. Monday, January 15th, is Martin Luther King Jr. Day. So both stores will be open regular hours. If you have the day off and are looking for something to do, we will be around. Next Saturday, January 20th, kind of 20th already, it's going to be in San Diego. It's going to be Rose Care with Beth Van Boxtel of the San Diego Rose Society. And in Poway, it's going to be Bare Root Roses with Celeste Burns, formerly of E.B. Stone and now a nursery owner on her own up in Santa Barbara. But she teaches a very good class.
Yeah, she's very good, and she has a great presentation that she's done for us a couple times over the last several years.
I'm drawing a blank as to the name of their nursery up in Santa Barbara. That's what I was either of you.
I can't remember. Fooey.
I can't think of it off the top of my head.
We'll work on it.
We'll figure it out. Let's see. Not too much going on. Today in Balboa Park, today, the 13th, there's a Cactus and Succulent Society meeting, show, and sale from 8 to 5 o'clock in room 101. And then later this month, 26th, 27th, and 28th, excuse me, San Diego Orchid Society Winter Orchid Show is going to be going on the 26th, 27th, and 28th.
Is it Knapp Nursery in Goleta?
No.
Yes.
Is it?
I'm pretty sure it is. Yeah. They bought it from somebody.
I thought they changed the name. I don't know.
Yes, yeah, Celeste and Patrick, her husband.
Okay.
Purchased it.
It looks like the last time I saw it, some pictures of it, it looks like the botanical building is coming along very well in Balboa Park. That's supposed to be done this year, I think.
Well, they assigned a landscape architect. I just got a story about that yesterday, that they've hired a landscape architect and they've published the drawings of what they're going to do. And I think in addition to the interior, they're redoing the whole area around it, and around the reflecting pond is what it looked like.
Well, I know they redid the facade to make it look more like it did when it was originally built back in 1914, I guess it was. But the building used to extend off the back of the building, too, farther. And I don't know if they're going to be adding that back onto it or not.
Revitalizing the botanical building and gardens is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to restore and enhance an extraordinary public space. Yeah, they're redoing the inside and out, and the drawings have just been published of what they're planning on doing.
Well, I know they were going to redo the inside because they tore everything out.
And Nan Sturman is doing the design for the interior for where the plants are going and what plants.
Awesome.
Oh, it should be very interesting then. If you want to give us a call today, 888-344-1170 is the number. We would love to talk to you. We got more roses in this week. I'm sure they got some in San Diego as well, correct, David?
Yes.
Okay. And David Austin's came in this week.
But they're not out. They just got released yesterday. Yeah. So they should be available in both stores by Tuesday.
Okay. So if you're looking for David Austin's, they will be available, just not this weekend. And the reason why and the delay for that was because they come in from out of state. We have to get them inspected by the Ag Department. So, but it sounds like they have come in and signed off on them. I have not taken that close of a look at the roses this year. They look pretty good.
They do. They're nice. And yesterday when I was pruning, there's some healthy canes out there.
Well, I was surprised at how much growth is on the tree roses already. I mean, they've really popped. They probably have about an inch of growth on them already.
A fair number of them do. Not even the regular shrub roses are doing really well. And they're, it's always amazing, you know, the fact that they just came in before Christmas and David and the team cut them up, put them in pots, and they're leafing out. And we typically will have some buds forming and ready to bloom in March.
In one of the boxes we got yesterday, one variety had some early growth in the box, which makes me think that they must have taken them, the supplier must have taken them from another box or another area, because nothing else had sprouted. And it was like that one variety had been in the box for an extra week or two. So I don't know where they came from, or if they just hadn't, that one variety hadn't been in a cold storage area and they started sprouting. But everything else looked tippy-tappy, and there were some beefy varieties. And today we'll get to start processing the Austins.
Probably not much to see this time of the year, but come March, if you're looking for something to do, get out of the house on a weekend, I would go over to out to Barona.
April.
I think April would be a little bit better from our couple years of experience doing it.
Yeah. But the Rose Garden at Barona is a hidden gem in San Diego. It's absolutely stunning. They do a fantastic job.
And they have that big area, probably a third of it is dedicated to David Austin roses.
Yeah, and those are the best David Austin roses I've ever seen. I'm not a huge fan of David Austin roses. I think they tend to be somewhat rangy and rambly. But
if you have the space,
they have them under control, and they look spectacular. The best looking David Austin roses I personally have ever seen. So that's at the Rose Garden out at Barona Casino. It is behind the parking structure. They have it very well hidden. You have to kind of look for it. But if you're out there, it's definitely worth going to take a look at. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you want to give us a call today, 888-344-1170 is the number. We would love to talk to you. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back. With more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ, I am Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. I found an interesting term yesterday. I happened across an article while I was looking around on the Brooklyn Botanical Garden website, which is an outstanding website if you have any interest in looking at it. And as a matter of fact, now that my son lives in Brooklyn, I'm going to have to go back there and see the Botanical Garden. Of course, I'll see him too. But
if he's around,
if he's home, yeah. Right. Yeah.
Is it more interesting than ice nucleating bacteria?
Yes, it is.
Wow.
But the term masting, have you ever heard of that before? I had never heard of it. Says every few years, as if on cue, Certain populations of trees drop unusually large quantities of acorns, walnuts, other fruits, nuts, and seeds to the ground. This phenomenon is known as masting or mast seeding. Scientists don't know exactly why or how they do it. Masting is, in short, the synchronized production of seeds by a population of plants. In other words, it's a reproductive act that an entire population does together. Oak trees, for example, mast roughly every 2 to 5 years. Because populations can extend across vast swaths of the country, this can mean that a red oak on a street in Chicago is hurling acorns to the ground at around the same time as a red oak in the woods in New Hampshire.
Wow. That is crazy.
I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah.
I think that is more interesting than that other phrase. Yes, that's really.
Is. Yeah, it's very interesting. It's a relatively long article. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I had never heard that term before, and I had never heard of that. The only thing that I had heard of where that something similar to that happens is when bamboo blooms.
Yeah,
where an entire species will bloom at the same time, no matter where it is. And that happened with
the Mexican
weeping bamboo, which got to be a very, very popular bamboo some years ago. And then it all bloomed and it all died. And it disappeared for a while. And then I guess people started growing it from seed again.
Well, but because of that, when it bloomed, there was a ton of seed then available. Mm-hmm. And so it's been plentiful ever since.
Yeah.
But before that, it was all just divisions. And so now we have all that seed from that bloom that wiped it all out. That was, what, 15 years ago now? Maybe 20?
Probably about 20, I'm guessing.
I wonder if it's a function of the maturity of a tree. You know, every tree is at this age they start doing it, or if it's a climatic thing, or if it's just a number of years pass and it happens.
Yeah.
What triggers it?
Yeah. It appears they don't know. But I just find that fascinating that it will do it across the country.
Just triggers. Yeah.
Something triggers that particular species to do
that. Does it across the country? Is it all or is most of it in the same type of climate zone so it would be growing at the same time? Or would it be seasonal as the weather warms up and spring comes? Do they do it sequentially? It implied from what you said that it does it all at the same time, so it must be all in a similar...
Well, it says red oaks do seem to be experiencing a mast year across wide swaths of the continent, including northern Illinois, Wisconsin, Ontario, and New Hampshire. In Maryland, multiple species from oaks to hickories and pawpaws are reportedly experiencing a very heavy mast year. Yeah, so it looks like it just goes all at once.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Very strange. So anyway, if you want to read that article, it is available on the Brooklyn Botanical Garden website. You know, you click on where it says articles, you have to click through a couple of pages, but
we'll post it on our Facebook page.
We'll find it. Yep. Put it up there. Let's see. If you want to give us a call today, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to go talk to Bob out in Otay. Good morning, Bob. How are you?
Yeah, good morning. Earlier you mentioned the botanical gardens. Was that in Balboa Park?
Yeah, that's what we were talking about, the botanical building in Balboa Park.
Yeah, and you said they gutted that, right?
Yes, they did.
What do they do with the flowers, and do they know what flowers are they going to bring in?
I had heard that the specimens were moved out and put into, I don't know if it was Balboa Park Nursery.
Or probably.
They were put into storage for replanting. The smaller stuff, I don't know what happened to that. And then as far as the new stuff that's going to be added on top of the original stuff that was saved, I don't know what they're going to do with that yet. I don't know that those plans have been released yet.
Yeah, when they say botanical, what does that actually mean?
Plant?
I mean, just a collection of plants.
Oh, that's it, huh?
Yeah.
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 Okay, well, hey, thank you.
You're welcome. Have a great weekend.
Hey, goodbye.
Okay, take care.
It said Spurlock Landscape Architects is who's facilitating it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but they haven't released any of the plans or anything yet. that I have seen. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to go to Chula Vista where Deb is waiting. Good morning, Deb. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
We're doing well. What can we do for you?
Well, I have a question about watering bare root trees. I just picked up a spicy nectarine, or a nectar plum, rather. And I had always treated my bare roots the same as other young trees. They all get a deep soak about every 10 days. And then I was reading in a book that it said, don't water bare roots because they're dormant. So now I'm very confused.
I would not treat a new bare root tree. I would not treat any newly planted tree, low water, high water, medium water, as an established tree for at least its first summer, maybe two. And we have had problems with customers treating their new fruit trees as established fruit trees and not watering them enough because they are soaking them once every week or two. And because they have a limited new root system, they need more frequent irrigations during their first dry period.
So then what would your recommendation be?
Well, the smart aleck David answer and the real answer are both as needed, which would be about, I would think, two, maybe three times a week during their first summer. And it depends on the weather. It depends on the growth that it's supporting. But I would think at least twice a week. And
okay, and for right now, because it's kind of cold and drear here in San Diego, so would you be watering it every two or three days?
No. Right now I would water it every probably 1 to 2 or 3 weeks because there's not any foliage for the limited root structure to support, and it has been cool and it has been moist.
So I can continue doing what I have done in the past.
Plant it, soak it, and then wait for extended dry to water it again, or once the growth begins, that's when you're going to have to start watering more frequently to support that new growth.
And I've always thought that once you put it in there, if it's been dry, you do want to keep the soil around the roots a little bit moist because you're trying to support all the microbial life that's in there. You don't want that stuff to dry out and die with just because the plants are. Plus, the roots will eventually dry out. And if you've purchased it in from us and it's sitting in all those shavings, we're trying to keep those roots damp.
Yeah, I did get it from you and I tried to be real meticulous, but thank you for clearing up the confusion. And I just want to tell you, I really appreciate your show every week. So,
well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for getting up early and listening to us. We really appreciate it.
I always do.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Take care. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We have been selling fruit trees like crazy. It's amazing how fast they are going out. And people are buying lots of them at one time.
Yeah,
multiples, like two. We've had people walk out with 15,
like
18, 20
really?
Trees.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, it's pretty wild. And David and I were talking about it the other day, that between roses and fruit trees, you would think after doing this for 95 years that the sale of that stuff would start slowing down a little bit, but it's not, and it just blows me away every year how many roses and how many fruit trees both of the stores sell. And that's just our two stores. I mean, there's nurseries all over the country that are selling roses and fruit trees this time of the year.
If I can interrupt, I was just having a discussion with my mother yesterday about this because it's something about getting an orange from a regular grocery store is so different than getting a homegrown from your neighbors or from your own backyard's orange trees. Mm-hmm. I mean, the amount of juice that comes from it and everything, it's like nothing to compare in the slightest. And very quickly to Bob and Otay Mesa, I just looked it up for fun. Merriam-Webster gives the definition of botanical as referring to plants. That is the definition, that is it. I thought it was quite interesting, though, the etymology. It says it comes from Greek, botanicus, which means herbs, and botane, which means to pasture and herb. Basquine means to feed and graze, and it also is akin to a Lithuanian word of gutask, which means flock. So more interesting information on Garden Talk Radio, everybody.
Well, thank you very much, Brendan. We appreciate that.
Yeah, but now he just raised the bar and people are going to have higher expectations of us.
Yeah.
He ruins everything. You know, you were talking about fruit trees and roses, mm-hmm. and it never ceases to amaze me the demand, because you would think that the neighborhoods are established and nobody should need any more trees. But we went through probably a couple of decades of people getting away from growing things.
Oh, that's true.
And then just what within the last, I would say, decade, people have gotten back into it. And I don't know, in my mind at all, it partially stems from not being able to get lettuce or tomatoes when those
the early stages of COVID.
No, it was before that when we would have outbreaks in the fields and they wouldn't ship any lettuce or tomatoes. And then people started realizing that if you have it at your house, you have total control.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes for fruits and vegetables and herbs and all the botanicals.
But you think also if you're going to pay a lot for water, you
might as well get something
for it.
Exactly. Yeah. To your point that you would think everybody had trees already and where were they putting these new trees, I speak to a lot of customers that rip things out just because it's not performing well. You know, it's been a couple years old, and I took that out because it's not performing well, and then they're going to try again.
You know, I keep buying trees for that reason.
Exactly. Well, yeah, but yours are not performing well because you neglect them.
I don't water them. Yeah. But so you just
and
replace
usually
them.
Usually that's the issue. It's not necessarily neglect, but not knowing what you're doing.
Well, how often do we see trees come in, especially peaches and plums, where they have bores in them and the whole tops of the branches are kind of cracked open and they have damage from sunburn, being drought stressed?
Oh, yeah.
Regularly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Quite often.
I know my Spice Z has that.
And you know what you're doing, kind
of. I know why it's doing that. Right. Yes.
If you want to give us a call today, 888-344-1170 is the number. We would love to talk to you. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross. Mark Mahady and George Allman, if you want to give us a call today, 888-344-1170 is the number. We were talking about roses and fruit trees before the break, and I don't know if it's still true or not, but at one time the most popular rose that we sold during bare root season was Double Delight.
That and Iceberg.
Iceberg.
The two most. And I think Iceberg. Mr. Lincoln is popular, Double Delight is popular, but I think Iceberg now outshines both of them. And everybody comes in and asks for that white freeway rose.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan.
And it's Iceberg.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan.
Yeah, it's Double Delights, though.
It's okay. I'm not a big fan of Double Delight either.
It's
fragrant. It's pretty. Yeah, I understand why you don't like it,
Ken.
It tastes like dirt.
Well, it probably does.
It's a double delight for your senses, both eyes and smell.
Well, the fragrance side of it, I'll give you that, but I just don't think it's that great of a looking rose.
Well, it's not that strong of a plant usually, but the roses are, I think, incredible. Ooh. And the fragrance is very strong, and it's a individual fragrance. You can recognize the smell of Double Delight, and the colors, the blend of red and white varies throughout the season with the temperature change. It's almost like a brand new rose every week.
Yeah, see, the only one that I ever saw that I thought really looked nice was, it was years ago. My mom and dad were in Portland, and they went to the Portland Rose Garden, and he took pictures of it up there. And it's a completely different plant in Portland than it is down here.
Well, there are lots of plants that look better or different. Well, there's more rain and water. And
now, see, if Double Delight looked like it did in Portland here in San Diego, I would probably like it more.
Well, I'll bet it could. And now we'll have to go on a field trip to the Memorial Rose Garden at Barona this April and see what the Double Delight roses look like.
We'll bring you some, we'll bring some in for you. We have some, and it's one of Capri's favorite bloomers in the yard because of the fragrance and, to David's point, the colors. It varies, and they look really, really nice.
Yeah. Once again, Mr. Anderson, you're just wrong about this.
But see,
you're different, Ken.
For fragrance?
That's what I meant.
For fragrance, I think it's hard to beat Fragrant Cloud.
It's very fragrant.
Yeah. It's true. Incredibly fragrant, and it has a very unique fragrance to it. If you smell it, you know what it is. And it's an interesting color, too. It's kind of a coral red color.
See, yeah. You have the same attachment to Fragrant Cloud, and I say meh to Fragrant Cloud that I have to Double Delight for all the exact same reason.
So in matters of taste, you might say there can be no dispute?
De gustibus, mm-hmm. Yes.
Exactly.
I could say that. So I like that he wasn't wrong. He was different.
He
is
was,
that what you said?
He's not wrong. He's different.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mark had mentioned Mr. Lincoln. That dates back to... from like 53 or 54?
Chrysler Imperial and Mr. Lincoln are very similar, and one of them is 64 and one of them is 56. Well, which way.
I'm going to throw a third one into that mix because I pruned some yesterday. It was Oklahoma.
Oh, yes.
It's all part of the same. I mean, they look similar, right, very fragrant.
I like Mr. Lincoln. I think it's a beautiful rose, very fragrant.
Mr. Lincoln and Chrysler Imperial were both.
It was the Mr. Lincoln really rose that a customer introduced me to. It's on the blue side of red. And Olympiad was on the orange side of red. And I never thought about that before that time.
That's interesting. I usually just say that the Mr. Lincoln's a darker red, so I guess that would...
It's blue versus
correct.
Orange.
And Olympiad came out for the Los Angeles Olympics in 1984.
Well, since you're on the roses here, another one that we have that we like, unfortunately we're not selling it, is a Red Intuition.
No, we only found that by a mail order.
Yeah, that is a beautiful... I know Capri loves to make cut flowers out of that because it holds for a very, very long time. When you put that inside in a vase, it just stays.
You know, Red Intuition.
Yesterday,
yeah, it's familiar with that one.
It was red. It was kind of pepperminty with different colors of red, and it was one of the roses.
But it's not as pronounced as peppermint. There's not a big striking contrast between.
Is it a striped one?
It's speckled more, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of red with like darker red or almost black lines through it.
And we were introduced to it from the rose shows in Poway. It was one of the. It was a winning bouquet that the Streepers brought in way back when, and it really is a neat, neat color combo. And I think we have a 20-gallon Red Intuition in the back with your name on it.
Oh, maybe.
It's still there. But that's a rose when you're pruning. You are looking for things that we should be doing cuttings of, George?
Yes.
Maybe Red Intuition.
That's how mine is. Didn't I give you a Red Intuition once?
I might still have one.
But alive.
It's time
I
still do have one alive. But it's time for you to do more just in case when I get to that area, it's not there anymore.
What was the Memphis rose that my dad really liked?
Peter
Frankenfeld?
Yes.
There was one other one, too.
I'm sure
Peter Frankenfeld, I think, was the one.
That one for a while.
Describe it.
Dolly Parton was one of his favorites. And we always had to have Dolly Parton in the store.
Yeah, but I remember Frankenfeld because you couldn't find it.
That's the thing he was always chasing it.
Always chasing it. And I think
Fred Edmonds.
Up in Oregon. But whenever we would think about it order it, it was too late.
Yeah.
So we never. I don't think we ever got one.
I don't think we did either.
And I'm trying to remember what was so great about that rose.
It's
been so long since I've seen it.
Are you looking up Peter Frankenfeld, George?
I'm trying to find it, yeah. Not familiar with it at all.
Didn't we order it one year and they wouldn't ship it to us? They knew who we were and they didn't want to send it to us?
I think you're right.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. They.
When I ordered mail orders.
Reputation preceded us.
Yes.
Memphis Musics, the guy didn't want to send them to me because he thought I was going to propagate them and cut into his business. And I never did, and I told him I wouldn't, but it was Memphis Magic, the one with the dark, dark, deep blood red with the yellow streaks in it. Do you have Memphis Magic or Music?
Well, it depends. I thought it was a Memphis Magic.
Do I have it backwards?
By the person that gave me the plant, but I think it's actually the Music.
The one I have right now that you, I think, gave me a cutting of is Music, which is just the dark red.
Right.
And Magic has the streaks
the yellow
in
stripes
it.
In it. Yeah. Right. And that's what I thought I was getting, and it wasn't. But that's also a very pretty rose. But it's not very fragrant.
No, it's not. But yeah. It's a beautiful color combo.
So Frankenfeld is a... I'm looking just at some pictures of it. It's a pink. It's like a very...
Yeah. It's a really, very nice formal...
Yeah, it looks
pink.
Like a hybrid tea.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is a hybrid tea. So, we looked for that for...
Years, yeah.
Years. And I don't even remember where we... Where he saw it. It must have been at the rose show.
Maybe it was at the Rose Garden in Portland next to the Double Delight.
Well, maybe.
So are you putting any roses in this year since I you know
well,
you're out
so
there
here's my
every
goal
day.
Here's my intent since you asked. I have a lot of roses still in containers that are waiting to be planted from 1 to 3 years ago. And maybe this year, not maybe. Yes, this year I will do it, okay?
We are actually going to move.
Commitment.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Exactly.
Well, you heard it here first, so we'll find out. Every week we'll ask. But we have a bunch of roses that I thought were going to get enough sun where they're sitting, and they're just not. So we're going to move them a little bit further north. They're getting too much shade from the Tipu Tipuana.
Well, now's a perfect time to do that.
It's the plan the next couple of weeks.
You're going to trim them back first?
Absolutely.
Perfect.
Absolutely. And then we might have to get a couple more.
That's what the gopher did for me. So I cut it, trimmed the roots, and so it... I cut the top back and moved it and replanted it. It's coming out fine.
Have you found gophers being a little bit more more of a population this year than normal, or am I just imagining it?
It could be both, but I have seen a lot of gophers, and I blame myself for letting them get out of hand. I had them under control after my first year or two at the property, and then I was... little overconfident.
A little
and
complacent.
I got complacent. That's a better word. Yes, because I had them under control, so I let them go for a while. And then now I'm trying to recontrol.
You let them go for a while?
Go
see
for
what you did there.
If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to go out to El Cajon where Andy is waiting. Good morning, Andy. How are you?
Good morning. Doing well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, I was calling because I have some roses that I'm going to be moving. And they've been there for more than 10 years. And my question is, what is the proper way to do that? Would I put them in buckets and then until I get a spot to move them in? Or would I, what would I do?
I would try.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't have a place to put them right away, you'll have to put them in a container of some sort. Yeah.
And you want to cut them back, what your normal winter pruning. So cut them back to about 4, maybe 5 canes, about 12 to 14 inches long. Then dig as big a root ball as you can muster and get it out of the soil. And you don't need to wash the soil off of the roots or anything. You can leave the root ball intact and then either have a new hole ready for it to go into or have a container the appropriate size for it to go into and just treat it like you would a new rose.
So if I cut some of the roots that have been extended, it won't hurt it?
Not really. No. If you think about it, you look at bare root roses, I mean, they basically get ripped out of the ground and have the soil washed off of them. So they lose some of their root system, but they're very resilient and they will come back. It's pretty tough to kill them.
And doing it during the dormant period is the time because there's very little stress on the root system. But the most important thing you could do in moving them is find the place where they're going to go so you can just put them in a hole in the ground and don't have to try and make them fit into a container. So if you know where they're going to go, get that part ready, cut them back, move them and replant them, and they'll come back out very quickly.
Okay. All right, fellas. Thank you very much.
Okay.
And if you want to practice, you can come up and help me. I'm going to move a bunch of them if you want to get some insight.
Thanks for the call, Andy. Have a great weekend.
You bet. Thanks.
Okay, take care. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more right after this. We'll be right back.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. And we are going to head up to North County to Vista, where Fran is waiting with a rose question. Good morning, Fran. How are you?
Hi, great, guys. I was in, I don't know, a couple of days ago to look at the roses that you had. And I mean, the number and different varieties was overwhelming. And that's not the way to pick out a rose bush, is to be pressured. So I talked to the guys, and they said, on your site, which I'd forgotten about it, you have the list of all of the roses, the scent, the colors, the blooming period, and everything. It's well done. So I've made my selection, but I've learned I'm not going to be like David this year. I am going to have the whole dug, prepared, ready to go, then go down and buy them, and then come home and plant them. But there's a question I have. I have four gallon rose bushes that have been in the pot, I think, for 4 years, so maybe I beat David on that part of it.
No, you've kept yours alive, Fran, so you haven't beat it. You definitely beat David.
I mean, they still bloom and they're doing great, but I think it's time for me to plant them. So any suggestions on how I go about it, since it's probably root-bound, and what my procedure would be?
Why don't you... I was going to say
essentially the same thing we described with the digging them out of the ground. You cut them back, if you haven't done that already, and then pull them out. If they are root-bound, you can cut the roots back a little bit and spread them out and shape them, just the way David does when he pulls them out of the box. He cuts them and gets them ready to go. So that's what you need to do.
If there's a tangled mat of roots at the bottom of the pots or the sides of the pots, I'd rip that open. I would cut them back maybe even a little bit more than you normally would, and put them in the ground, and they should explode with growth over the next quarter.
Take off.
Oh, okay. And then I have one rose bush. The poor thing, I don't know, and it does have thorns on it, but something comes and eats it. Not the other roses that I have, but just this one. And if it keeps it up, I mean, I've already have one little stem coming out now because they ate all the rest of it. So I put a barrier around it and see if that helps. But do you have any idea what's eating it?
I've seen rabbits eat roses. I've seen rabbits eat roses. Usually it's the softer, newer growth that they will get into.
Capri and I were at the rose garden in Balboa Park, and we watched a squirrel chew off a big piece of rose cane, hop to the other side, and sat in front of us eating it with thorns on it. So we've watched it happen with squirrels.
And I know I don't know if you're in an area that has it. We still have some. We still have a few up in my neighborhood in Scripps Ranch. But deer can also eat roses as well.
Yeah, no, I don't have deer, but I do have squirrels and I do have the rabbits. But it's only picking on that one poor little rose bush. I don't know.
There must be must be something about that particular one that it finds rather tasty. Yeah,
appetite.
Sometimes it's location too. It's closer where to their place
where they can get to, or
and where they could hide and things like that. Yes.
Oh no, this is wide and they open, and but I do know that they do like the rosemary bush, and they go and they've got probably a nest in there. I should go out there and beat the branches off a little bit. I can get them to relocate. And then of course I've got the gopher problem. I go in the backyard and it looks like a Swiss cheese, all the gophers, but I'm put the traps out and everything. And then I heard that if you put blood meal, if everything's dry and you put blood meal on top of it, they tend to go elsewhere because of the blood meal. I don't know if that's true or not. And I haven't tried it yet either. And I'm desperate to try anything.
I have heard that as well.
Well, that's one of the products we sell is called Rabbit Scram, and the main ingredient is blood meal.
Yeah.
And so I've tried it as an experiment, and I've watched the rabbits kind of like power through it to go to where they wanted to go anyway. But I would just be cautious putting too much blood meal where you're going to be growing things, because that's going to be a lot of quick release nitrogen, and over time you can burn your plants.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Be careful with it if you're gonna try it. Be careful with it, because it does release nitrogen very quickly, and it's relatively high in nitrogen, and it can burn.
Okay. Oh, that's good to know. So I think I'll wait off on trying the blood meal for a while.
And one other thing, Fran, if you have a dog, dogs love to lap up blood meal, and it doesn't end up pretty. So don't let them do that.
Yeah, I lost my little one 2 years ago, which was just another thing. Listen, guys, I really appreciate your show and your classes and everything, and you're the best of all the garden centers in San Diego County.
Well, thank you very much, Fran.
Yeah.
We appreciate it. You have a great weekend, and thanks for calling.
And all of you, too. Thank you.
Take care. I forgot what I was going to say.
Well, we should probably put a check in the mail. Did we get her address?
Yeah. we know her, yeah.
If I can go back to when Brendan was talking about mom and fruit from the backyard, when customers ask me, when we're in the bare root section, David, we've talked about this a lot, what's the best fruit? And I say they're all good. If you're growing it in your backyard, unless you have an aversion, like what's the best peach? If you have an aversion to a peach, then don't get peaches. But if you just want a peach, you're growing them in your backyard, they're all
good. Any one of them.
So they're all great.
Well, you know, to that end, it was I guess it was a couple of years ago, I was at the Vaughn's in my neighborhood and walking through the produce section, and I bought Cara navels. I brought them home. Horrible. It was a horrible fruit.
They're processed. Yeah. They've been, when I say processed, they've been preserved. And they get, it takes a long time from the tree to your mouth when they go through the stores. And I've never liked store-bought citrus. Right. Citrus in particular.
Yeah, but those were particularly bad. I mean, when I say bad, it didn't taste bad. It just had no flavor.
It has no flavor to it. All the acids have broken down. There's no flavor left. The only place that I will buy oranges if I need them is at the swap meet. There's a guy who fills up his truck in Riverside, at the Groves up in Riverside, and he brings them straight down. And that's where I used to get oranges for mom and dad for juicing. We're in the navel season, so they're not. I don't like them as much, but they're still...
It's not a good juice orange.
Yeah, but it's...
It's a great eating orange.
No, as far as eating is concerned, they're the best.
So if you don't want to be spoiled, don't buy citrus and plant it and just buy it at the stores. But once you taste your own homegrown citrus, you can never go back.
Yeah, my grandparents had a Valencia orange tree in their backyard. And my grandmother used to harvest the Valencia oranges in the summertime. We always had fresh orange juice, and it was outstanding. It was incredibly good.
Fresh citrus is unbeatable. Hopefully, we'll still have some in this county in the next
five or ten years. Yeah.
We'll see. Classes again today in San Diego. It's year-round color for San Diego gardens with Chuck McClung, and that starts at 9 o'clock. At 9:30 in Poway, it's going to be bare root fruit tree planting and pruning with Adams from our staff. That's at 9:30. And don't forget Martin Luther King Day on Monday. And both stores will be open regular hours. So if you're going to be out working in your yard on this long weekend, we will be around to help you out. Anything else that we need to go over?
Let me think about that for a moment.
Well, I pulled a David. David was getting something out of the back of my car the other day and told me there were ants. So I had soil in the back before. So I went to look what the ants were in, and I had a bottle of liquid copper to spray my trees that I bought 3 or 4 weeks ago that I forgot. It was the backup because I already had a little, but I did the same thing. I purchased something, left it in the car, and never used it.
I set a reminder on my phone last night that I had 3 1-gallon rose trimmings in my trunk, and to remember to take them out, and then I put my shoes on and went out and
forgot what you were looking for.
Forgot to get them, so they're still in my trunk. Three rooted.
How's that reminder working?
So maybe that's what we should talk about.
You need a reminder for your reminder.
Yes.
You've been listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We'll be back next week with another hour. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.